Hey, everybody. Welcome to the New Market Alliance Church podcast, where you're invited to not just attend church or watch church or, in this case, listen to church, but actually go and be the church. For everything you need to know about our community, be sure to go to newmarketalliance.ca and maybe even drop us a line to let us know you're listening. We read everything you send and we'll be sure to get back to you. Our worship service happens every Sunday at 10 a.m. in person or streaming online. We want you to know you absolutely matter to God, and you absolutely matter to us. Everyone is welcome and wanted. Now, let's join today's teaching.
My name is Chris, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at New Market Alliance Church. If you're here for the first time or you're visiting us this summer, welcome. I hope that you can feel the family atmosphere that we try to create. We're not always with games and extra lollipops in the service, but on a long weekend, why not, right? So glad that you were able to join us and to take time out of your weekend to come and share and worship with us. As Taylor already mentioned, we have a little activity to work on today together as a whole church family. So hopefully you got a timeline. I'm going to walk through this activity with us today as part of the message, and I hope that you will embrace it and participate. So our text today is from Acts 28, and we are so close to the end of finishing Paul's journey. We have been on this road for several months. We've been working through Acts as a church. The kids have been doing Acts upstairs in their classes as well. And today, he finally gets to Rome. So we finally made it to that part in the process, and we haven't quite finished the series yet. We still have a few summer speakers to come up to finish up the last few verses of Acts, but for today, we're just going to look at Paul's journey as a whole, and we're going to compare that to our journey, and so that's why you have a timeline in front of you. I want us to take a moment to consider how our journey and how God has brought us to this point in our lives, and how God brought Paul to that place in Rome that he had been working towards, journeying towards for such a long time. Our speakers this summer have done a great job highlighting all the details of Paul's journey, and there have been many, many things that we can learn from Paul's journey and the journey that the early church was on, because Acts started, remember, before Paul even became a Christian. God has been teaching us many things, but for today, let's just look at Paul and his journey and then have a quick look at our own journey. So, Paul trusted God. We know that. Paul never wavered after his encounter with God. His conversion was rather dramatic, we know that, but I believe he still had to make a choice as to what to do about it once he realized what he had learned about God. So he realized that Jesus was the Messiah, and that was who the Jews had been waiting for. He had to see this as a crossroads in his life, one of those places where he has to decide to move forward or to turn back. And we can see that after a few years of preparation, Paul chose to start his ministry. He talked about the importance, or this summer we talked about the importance of telling your story and how your testimony is a witness to the hope that is within you, knowing that our own conversion story is a foundational piece and is an encouragement to others, is something that we should know about and also adopt into our story, our journey as believers. And so that's one thing that we're going to also add to the timeline. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, accounted for the highs and lows as he traveled with Paul. He didn't just highlight the good things. He didn't just highlight the wins. He wrote about the dangers. He wrote about all the points of contact, the communities that Paul had interaction with, the wins and the hardships. Paul had pivotal moments where he had crowds that were listening to him, which would have probably felt really good. The crowd was with him. It would have been like one of those like really good feeling moments. There were moments where the crowds ministered to him, where he could obviously see that they were listening, and truly the Holy Spirit was evident in those moments, especially if you remember when he healed and many people that were touched by Paul's message. Do you remember Eutychus? Eutychus fell out the window. We talked about him. We've had maps up on the screen documenting the cities and the various trips that Paul took. Sometimes Luke shared about Paul's one-on-one encounters, and sometimes Paul was grateful for the people and the moments where he had, where people were loving on him. And there were moments where he feared for his life. Sometimes there was a lot of hate around him. If you remember the riot that broke out in the theater, David talked to us that Sunday. We've learned about who Paul was. He was a Pharisee, well-studied, well-learned. He loved people. He loved the scriptures. He was well-versed in the scriptures. He had a destiny to fulfill, and nothing was going to stop Paul once he had put that mission on his path. He decided, even though the path was not always direct, and he didn't get there quickly. So the book of Acts is not like a nice storybook, a fairy tale, where you just hear all the, you know, good parts, and it all, you know, has a happily ever after. It was more than 25 years that he's been on this journey. And today we want to look at our journeys. And some of you have been on a journey for more than 25 years, and maybe you've been doing the same thing for 25 years. Maybe you're not even 25 yet. Your journey is shorter, but not any less significant with the events that have happened along your timeline. This morning, we want to take a few minutes and look at that journey. And we want to see some of the same emotions, experiences, crossroads that you've experienced. Clearly, some of those dynamic places where the Holy Spirit intervened, or where you could clearly see that God was a part of your story, the things that you experienced. The point of having the Bible as God's living word, one of the points, I guess, is that the journeys that are recorded in the Bible are for us to learn from, to draw us closer to God and actually interact with Him. He wants us to apply the truths of Scripture that are unchanging, unwavering, and forever constant, to take those stories and then to see how God wants to speak into our lives today. And this is one of those chances for you to take the story of Paul and see how you can be encouraged on your own journey. So before we look at the verses in the text, I want us to take a look at the timeline. So if you have one, I'd just like you to grab it and have a look at it. You should each have one. There are lots. So if you need one, just put your hand up and usher will bring you one. And I want you to jot down some key events. If there's a pen in the seat pocket in front of you, I want you to, again, start at the top. Don't get too caught up in fitting everything into your life, okay? There are only a few boxes. And obviously, for some of us older folk, you would need way more boxes to indicate all the things that you have journeyed through in your lifetime. So for today, we're just going to ask God for some key events, some things that He brings to mind today, okay? Not everything, you know, is necessary for today, and it's yours and your journey alone. So this is, I'm not going to ask for it. I'm not going to collect it. I'm not going to mark it. I was a teacher, and I do like to mark things. Other teachers in the room are going to feel that way too. Is this for a grade, or is there a test? No test, no grade. This is really between you and God, and I hope that it will encourage you as you do this today. A little bit of effort, I think you will find some inspiration. So the top of the timeline starts with your birthday and what your name means. You can Google that if you don't know already. And if you'd like some help, again, one of the summer students will help you figure that out. AI is also your friend. I'm sure if you Google it, you're going to get lots of information. All right, then I want you to start jotting down some key events. And kids, you have some bigger boxes. There's a sheet with six boxes. You can either draw pictures or you can write in the boxes. No problem. There's just six. Pick six things that are special in your life. If you're 6 years old, you might think of one for every year. Or if there's just six special things that have happened, do one picture in every box. And for the rest of us, use as many boxes as you need to highlight a few main events. Start with your childhood reference, maybe your family of origin, there's a story there. What was that like? Any significant graduations, or for example, high school. High school was so long ago for me, it didn't even make it on my timeline. So I didn't even bother putting high school on. But if you are still in high school or recently graduated, you might have more than one box that represents high school, because a lot of significant things have happened for you during that time. Maybe for some of you, you married your high school sweetheart, so high school will forever be a special place. And some of you, I know, still treasure friends that you grew up with and went to high school with. That is a gift from God, to have those friends journeying with you on your path ever since high school. I think that is a gift, and I think that should be on your timeline. You want to put your wedding in a box, perhaps. University, perhaps that was significant. Maybe you're starting university and there's some anxiety over that. Significant friendships, people you've met. Significant experiences, maybe a special trip. Put a special trip in a box. Something that resonates with you and your family. For sure, when God became more than a word. Okay? So when did you decide that Jesus was you wanted to have a personal relationship with Jesus, so you could just put Jesus into one of those boxes? And if you are still on a journey to figuring out what exactly does Jesus mean in my life, then maybe just put a box and say, I'm still trying to figure out where do Jesus and I stand in our relationship. Totally fine. So the little ovals can just be dates or headings, and then the yellow boxes, you could just explain a bit more. So I have an example for you. In 2000, I switched jobs from teaching to start working at NAC. So in the oval, I just put job change. Simple enough, just there was a job change. But in the yellow box, I wrote, God's calling to take me in a different direction. Because for me, that was a really significant time in my life, one of those crossroads moments. I also wrote infertility in one of the oval boxes, because that was part of my journey. And then I remembered, again, it's not your whole testimony, but what I remembered when I was doing the activity was a highlight of when the staff at NAC prayed for me one day. I was completely broken and had given up. And I was not only healed that day of my disappointment, but a significant time of grieving also came to an end. So in the yellow box, I just put grieving came to an end. And for me, that was just, again, it was something that came to mind during this timeline activity. And so it became one of my yellow boxes. So you can put down combinations of events or highlights, highs, lows, whatever comes to mind. Significant job changes, friend groups, family highlights, the birth of your children. Maybe you want to put their names in different places on the line. Significant losses, and even a health crisis. Sometimes a health crisis is also one of those moments where we pull closer to God in a way that nobody else will understand unless they have gone through something very similar. We can try, we can be empathetic, but those key things on your timeline are sometimes only things you will understand why they were so significant. So I just want to pray for a moment and just ask God that while we're in this space of reflection, Lord, over the next few moments, I pray you will bring significant life events to mind and that we can put those on this timeline. Help us to not get bogged down by the sense of effort it takes or by a spirit of fear or intimidation. Protect our emotions as some things come back to mind. But bring forth your goodness through this simple act and help us to see your goodness and provision in the end. In Jesus' name, amen. We sang during worship the goodness of God, and I felt like that song really reminds us again that the goodness of God, those moments of goodness, need to be on our timeline. Things that even just now God's bringing to mind, a significant reflection. And I just actually want to give you a minute. I've got a few more things that I want to share with you, but I want you to just take a couple seconds and jot a few things down as we just take a pause. Might be quiet for a second, and that's okay. So that was less than 4 minutes. Oh, Paul, question.
I need another page.
we'll get the ushers on that right away. So that was less than 4 minutes, and I don't know, I was probably more uncomfortable just not knowing what to do. But I hope you got a sense that that's not a lot of time, but it is time where we pause and reflect. And I want to encourage you to build those moments into your day. That is just an extra bonus off script. I just know that if we want to recognize the goodness of God, we have to stop and be quiet and still. And sometimes just let God reveal those moments to us when we are not asking for things, when we are not doing things, when we are not trying to accomplish things. And sometimes even coming to church, you hope that the time gets filled with good feelings and good things that are for you from the message. And sometimes I think we come to church and we should bring more of what we need to do to draw closer to God during that time. But that's just a little aside. So we're going to start to read from chapter 28 in Acts. If you have it on your phone or you brought your Bibles, you can read along. I'm going to connect this all, so don't worry. I really want us to realize that today is about putting something in to get something out. Okay, so we're going to start at verse 10 on 28. Paul's arrival at Rome. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed for 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived in Rhegium, and the next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When he got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. All right, so let's stop there at our first reference. Paul has arrived in Rome, and it's been a long journey, years in the making. And I want us to note he is still a prisoner, so not everything is perfect in this situation. But he has some favor, and he's able to reach out to some friends and find a comfortable place to live. So the friends is the part that really intrigued me on this journey. The people that took care of Paul at these moments. And I love that the scriptures tell us that in Malta, they took good care of him and gave them supplies as they needed. Luke had to mention that because I think it was so important. And when he arrived in Rome, he saw the friendly faces coming towards him, and he was again encouraged by the people that were waiting for him. They knew him, or at least knew of him, because the word had spread. Perhaps they were already on mission with him and were going to be a support, or some of these people had heard about him and were going to be a place of refuge for him. So if you look back at your timeline now for a moment, I want you to look and see if any of the events that you've written down or drawn a picture of had significant people in that event, in that crisis, or in that high, or in that low. Were there people that specifically blessed you at that time of whatever it was that you have in those boxes? Were they believers? Did they step into a situation? Did they pray for you? Were there friends that supported you? I want you to make little stick figures and just put a couple little stick figures as someone comes to mind. So just say, Dear Jesus, who comes to mind as I'm thinking about my timeline? Who has encouraged me in the past? Who has been a significant person that has been that crossroads, part of that crossroads for me? And in the Bible, we see all through Acts, we see all of these people that were specifically placed for Paul on his timeline. They were very, very important and instrumental. The whole book is not just about what Paul did. It was about the early church and how Paul and the other believers, Paul is our main character, but all these supporting characters made it possible for Paul to do what he had to do. So I made a list. There was Luke, there was Ananias, there was Barnabas. We read it, often it says the brothers or the sisters. Those were spiritual brothers and sisters along his journey. Do you remember Agabus and Judas, Silas, Timothy, Lydia, Priscilla, Aquila, Apollos? It goes on. These were all significant people on his journey. So I want you just to put a few little stick figures as someone comes to mind as a significant person on your journey. I'll let you keep working on that, and I'm going to keep reading at verse 17. So 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death." I think that would be a box on Paul's timeline. When he was arrested, when he had to testify, he had to prove his innocence, or he had to continue to describe what happened, describe his innocence, tell his story. Those were significantly intimidating events, but also as we read them now, how important were those on his journey getting to Rome? Because of the refusal or because of the way that the legislate had all, the way that it was organized in terms of the power structure, that was all part of how Paul ended up in Rome. Verse 19, let's continue. "The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." So being arrested, again, significant. Paul has a chance here to set the record straight. He does not want the people to believe the rumors that might have come ahead of him. And it could have been floating around a lot of stories about who Paul was, what the early church was doing. And he was, especially since he was falsely accused of going against his people, he wanted to make sure that his integrity was important, and he didn't know what they knew. So then in verse 21, they reply. It says, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." So the news of what was happening in the early church had definitely traveled to the people in Rome. But interesting to me that the rumors and all the rumblings, this group of people anyways, had not really heard about Paul's, the turmoil that Paul had also created and was a part of. So sometimes we have these moments that we're going to look at that are gold star moments. And for the kids, this might be good. Adults, you have to stretch yourself a little bit. We have some gold stars, and I want you to put your own gold stars on your timeline. Very teacher, I know, but I have a point to this. The gold stars, we want those to represent those moments where we now look back and see that God has completely, that is absolutely, God intervened. Somehow there was a God moment. Things in your life were going to go this way, and God intervened, and it went this way. And maybe you don't even know that it was God at the time. Maybe now, if you look at it, you go, "Oh my goodness, I think that was a God thing." Sometimes people say, "Oh, it's a God thing," or sometimes people say things like, "It's a God moment," where we can clearly see that God intervened. And Paul has those God moments all the way along, and he shares them with us through the book of Acts. And this was one of those moments where he gets to say that this was the fulfillment to the prophecies, that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies, and the Jews had been waiting to hear this. They're trying to figure this out. What is this new church? Some people believed, some people didn't. But definitely in Paul's journey, that was the point of where he was headed, is to give as many people as possible an understanding of who Jesus was and what that means to Jews and Gentiles. So he was not against the church. This was for the church, what he did. And all the things that happened to him led him to this place. So I want you to take a moment and put a gold star somewhere on that timeline. Paul is going to have the opportunity again to tell his story again and again, that Jesus is the Savior of the Jews and the Gentiles. This is another event, and this, for Paul, would have been on his timeline. And again, if we look at our timelines and reflect, can you see those moments in situations where God was present? Don't be afraid to put a lot of stars on. I have a lot, and there's not that many people here. You need 20, put 20. Because you need 50, well, that might be a stretch, but put them on. At least you need to know the goodness of God is peppered. His fingerprints are all over your timeline. Sometimes we can't even separate the things that are what happened and what was God. God was just a part of every single weaving of your story. Right from before you were born, God was weaving your story. Maybe you didn't realize it then, but maybe when you look at your timeline now, it becomes more clear. And I want to encourage you to keep looking for those things. Pursue God, especially if you're in a moment of a lull spiritually, if you're in a place of dryness, or you feel that you're not sure where you and God are at right now. This act of gratitude, this act of pursuing where God's goodness has shown up in your life, maybe you're not even sure that God has been a part of your life or part of your past. An activity like this of mapping out the things that have happened to you and looking at them on the page may bring those things to light. They may show you. If you ask the Holy Spirit for inspiration, for understanding, for a clear picture, I believe you will receive that. Many of the God moments that we have may also line up with those stick figures. Some of those stick figures were God using those people in your life, God bringing those people into your story to help you to see Him. So we have to keep our eyes open, not only for events and circumstances, but also people, also the way things orchestrate in our lives, in our families. He's deeply interested in our pain, in our joy, our victories, and our defeats, and we are never alone. These promises are as old as time, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and we have examples after example of how God was with His people. And sometimes we don't get a chance to actually see it in a picture until we take a moment and actually make that happen. And today, as we just wrap up our message for today and we look at Paul's journey, we're coming to the end of that process in Acts. I hope this was a useful activity for you to reflect not only on Paul's journey starting to come to a close, but also your journey. And at the bottom of the page, it just says the journey continues, because today could be the beginning. Today could be the beginning of a whole new part. Like Paul said, another page. You can have another page and another page and another page. How exciting is that? We're never finished. And until that day that God decides that we're done, we're not done. I want to read you Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Amazing. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I just want you to know you walk in the confidence of God's goodness. That verse reflects back to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And in Psalms 118, verses 6 and 7, it says, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. I'm going to invite the band to come on up. We know that God is with us. And sometimes that presence comes in the shape of a family member, a brother or a sister in Christ, even a stranger. If you look at your story, maybe there's strangers. Maybe there's a friend. Maybe it was an angel. I believe in angels. I hope you do too. People sometimes cross our paths and we don't even know where they came from. There's an awareness of the Holy Spirit. Our journey is important and looking back is important. We can't change the past. That's okay, but we can learn for the future. We have the opportunity to see our journey alongside Paul's and the other stories that we have in the Bible. God was faithful then and is faithful now. He provides for us on the way and brings many people into our lives to accomplish his work. And so I just want to close and pray for you before we sing our last song. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today with God's people in your house to worship and to look and reflect on the goodness in our lives. I pray that even in this silly activity, and it might not have resonated with everyone, but Jesus, I pray that there would be a nugget, something that we could take from this. And even if it just is an annoyance, I pray, Jesus, that you would continue to build on that and that we would take this idea home, that we would reflect on the goodness of God, that we would reflect on gratitude and be thankful for those crossroads, for those moments when you met us. And I don't want to miss the opportunity to pray for those of us that are waiting on a miracle. We are waiting to understand what it is about that we are in this season, or we are waiting for a miracle, or we are waiting for you to show something to us in a particular way. Heavenly Father, please come. Come, Lord Jesus. And even though we have to be humble and receive what you have for us, I pray, Jesus, there would be answers to questions, that there would be truth that would be revealed, that there would be situations that we have been waiting for years and years and years, and you would show or make yourself known, that you would reveal yourself in the situations where we don't see you or we don't know what you are doing. I ask you, Jesus, to just come, be a blessing today, be a blessing on our congregation. Even those that have joined us online, I pray that this would translate and there would be something of goodness that each of us would receive today from you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.